Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Ready to get back in our Father's Word, chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, Paul's letter to Corinth. Remember the third chapter, he said, hey, we don't need any credentials. You people are our credentials. The fact that you believe and that you walk in the grace and glory of the Shekinah glory of Almighty God. What better credentials could you have? Not like some super preacher that might come along with a long list, but he said, you are our living credentials. And documenting that the ministry in which they brought, which is Christ crucified, was getting it done. The people were listening. So we come to chapter 4, verse 1, a word of wisdom from our Father. And verse 1 reads, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We're going to carry it through. We're not going to give up. Though there are many trials and tribulations, we're going to keep going. Verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That's what God's word, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, will do for you. It's not man's word, and it's not man's word to dally with. It's God's word. It's what pleases Him, and when you please Him, He's going to bless you. And that's what makes life so wonderful. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In other words, we have made it available for everyone, all comers, and the only ones that it's hidden from are the non-believers. Why? They could be standing right in the middle of us. They don't believe it. Therefore, the real in-depth truth is hidden from them. And this mystery that Paul speaks of is the three earth ages. Why we're here, and why God's grace is with us. And He always taught that on the three levels, which made it so fantastic. It's no wonder that those that believed were His credentials, because He needed no other. Verse 4. In whom the God of this world, who is that? That's none other than Satan himself, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. There is so much in that verse. If you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father, for He was Emmanuel, God with us. And even though it is Satan that blinds those that will not see, why? He twists their little things. Usually his main weapon is to try to get someone to feel important within themselves, needing credentials that are really void, only traditions of men, rather than the true credentials of Almighty God. That's being able to produce, being able to get it done. Simply that simple it makes the difference. And knowing that, to realize that the Son was actually God in person through that Son. The office of Savior come not to destroy, not to do away with, but to teach and to bring salvation. Make it available for whomsoever would. And naturally, if you choose to disbelieve and if you choose to walk the other way, hey, have a good trip. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ, for Jesus' sake. We're His slaves, basically, bringing you that truth. You know, He always taught Christ crucified. That's what's important. And you might say, well, why is that important? Well, it's who crucified Him, why they crucified Him, and what, these are the W's, what they expected to gain by it. And many parables were written, let's destroy the king's son and inherit ourselves, that is his. But for a non-believer to skip that glorious light, that truth, that peace of mind that comes within walking in that light of the Shekinah glory, that is to say, God with us in the office of Savior, willing to save the world for those that would believe. Verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We are the children of that light, and we intend to bring that light to others, that knowledge flows freely, and it is theirs for the taking and the believing. And let that light shine, for where you have that light, there is no darkness. The prince of darkness haven't got a prayer. Do you know why? Because Christ gave us power over them. They're afraid of us. When you truly believe, and you have those credentials of knowledge and light from the living God, which is to say simply the truth, then you know that Christ gave us power and authority over all evil spirits, all of our enemies, and naturally in the power of Christ. In that light, darkness must fade. It must fade into the netherworld, and so it is. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Let's say in these flesh bodies, we have this treasure, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, even God so loves you that even in these flesh bodies, this earthly house that your soul dwells in, He gives you that power and authority in His name and in His light to overcome all enemies. You got nothing to sweat, nothing to worry about. Never let them see you sweat on your first cruise. Verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We don't sweat it. We are perplexed, but not in despair. They try to bring a bunch of garbage on us, but we're not sweating it. We don't care. We're not going to despair. We're going to let that light shine. Why? Because He knows the darkness cannot exist in light. And all you have to do is to bring forth the light, and there will be some unbelievers around you. You'll plant seeds and they'll snuff at you. Don't be discouraged. Don't despair. Christ is still on the throne, and you are walking in that light. You've got nothing to fear. So it is as Paul would so walk in a troubled land and even have his life threatened in many cases. He knew God would see him through until the ministry was finished. Verse 9, persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. How fantastic it is that when you have this attitude, praise God for giving us freedom in this world, because in Him you have it. There is a very interesting thing in this particular verse. The word cast down in the Greek manuscripts, you know what it is? It's katabo. That is the overthrow of the first earth age. It was cast down. And the same word is utilized here to get your attention and to call your attention to the fact that we're not destroyed. The first earth age was, and in Christ we have the victory. And we're going to hang on to it. They can persecute us. They can bring on trouble. They can talk. They can do whatever they want to. But the light is eternal. And you possess that light, which is to say, Christ's blessings. Verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. In other words, He died on the cross for our sins, but He resurrected and brought life eternal to our bodies. It is how He protects us, giving us the power and the authority that when you repent, He erases your sin and gives you a perfect record. And how dare someone, after they repent and they know they're forgiven, to bring up garbage? You're going to remember it in your mind so you don't commit it again necessarily. But at the same time, you don't want to bring it up to Christ because he erased it. Doesn't exist. Verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. That's to say, even in these flesh bodies, we have that Holy Spirit that walks with us, among us, and in His power, and the power He gives us, and the protection manifested even in mortal flesh, gives you the ministry to carry forth the truth. Don't you ever let anyone shake that. It's real. It's not a religion. Christianity is a reality. It's true life. Verse 12. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We face death every day, bringing you the truth. And what he's saying, we don't sweat it. Doesn't bother us. There's trouble on every side, but God is with us. And the thing is that we want to work this light and this life. What life is that? Eternal life. We want you to possess that eternal life whereby death has no power over you. Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? It doesn't have any. Not when you possess the light. Not when you possess the Savior, which is to say Christ. Verse 13. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. He's quoting Psalms 116:10, and how precious it is that our Father's word carries forth so much. We're not going there, but you can make a home assignment of it. Psalms 116:10. It's beautiful, and so it is. And when you believe, you speak. When you have an opportunity, and protecting your credibility, but you bring forth what you speak is the word of truth. Verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. That's to say, all that believe. This is ever so important, beloved, because so many people believe that God is the God of the dead in a way, because they teach that there's out here in a hole in the ground somewhere all these people. And it shows that how they lack scholarly ability from the Word of God. For an example, Christ taught in Luke 16 that Lazarus and the rich man went to paradise, one on one side and the other the other. But who did they see in paradise on the good side with Lazarus embracing him? It was Abraham. Abraham's not dead. For God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. Why? Because you know, as we taught in 1 Corinthians, this first letter to Corinth, that you have two bodies. You have this flesh body, which is going back to dirt. It's not coming out of the ground. When it's finished, it's finished. It goes back to dirt. It stays dirt. But you have a beautiful spiritual body that is eternal. And instantly it returns to the Father from whence it came. That is to say, the very spirit of your being, which is the intellect of your soul, meaning your soul, spiritual body, returns instantly to the Father who gave it. How precious our Father is, how He loves His children that love Him, that follow Him. And inasmuch as He raised up Christ, He's certainly going to raise you up also. It comes down to this point. As 1 Corinthians 15 would say, if you believe Christ resurrected from the dead, then you better believe you have also. When you breathe your last breath in the flesh body, the mortal body, then instantly that cord, that silver cord parts, and your spiritual body returns to the Father from whence it came, eternally. Okay, so it is so important to see the love of the living God and how his love for his children, and that is to say those that love him. Next verse, please, verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundance and all of our sufferings and sacrifices is for your sake, that the abundant grace, that's the might through the thanksgiving of many or many more, redound to the glory of God. It's worthwhile. Whatever the trouble, whatever we face, the fact that one soul is converted, it's worth it. It's worth it for the children of God to have them see the truth and the glory of God and to follow him, to love him, to be guided by him. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not, I'm not going to, we're not going to give up, but though our outward man perish, though these flesh bodies die, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. In other words, the spiritual man, as he, your being, as you get into God's word, as you feel the touch, as you see the light, and as you do the will of God, then, you know, your flesh body may get older and it may get a little less feeble and so forth as time goes on, but daily with inside your spiritual man gets stronger and stronger, ready to step into that eternity with the power and the love of the living God. How precious and how wonderful our Father is that he makes these things available to whomsoever will. Will what? Believe that no Christ was crucified. Who he was crucified by, why they crucified him, and what was the purpose. Your spiritual body is renewed day by day. Father never forgets. Why? He loves you. And when he loves you and you love him, he blesses you daily. Verse 17, for our light affliction, this little bit of trouble we have down here in these flesh bodies, which is but for a moment, just a few years, worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. You can't compare it. Whatever little trouble you have in the flesh compared to the eternity of that beautiful, wonderful spiritual life with Christ, with our Heavenly Father. The office of the Savior, when it is complete, is a fantastic thing. Then the full Godhead de facto, de jure, I should say, here on earth. How precious it is. But there is just, if you ever feel really troubled, you need to remember this verse. There is no comparison to what little old trouble. Well, brother, you don't understand my troubles. Well, I understand the glory of God. I know who can take care of those troubles if you will believe. If you will exercise the power that God gives you, if you want to be a wimp and wimp out, hey, have a good trip. Or you can step up to the plate and take on the power that God gives you and realize, hey, this is nothing compared to what is waiting us in glory, and even participating now in the blessings of God when he reaches down and touches you in that light, that glorious Shekinah glory, that God, which simply means in the Hebrew tongue, God dwells there in your heart and in your mind, and he's with you. It doesn't compare the little troubles of this life, and you need to really think on that. If you are having more difficulties than you feel you can handle, you better go to him. Let him know. And then always remember in the first letter to the Corinthians, to Corinth, in chapter 10, verse 13, what did he say? He said, hey, there's nothing going to happen to you that doesn't happen to everybody. And I am never going to test you over what I know you can cut. I know you can cut it. And then at the same time, I'm going to always show you a way out when you believe. He will. And you've got to know that and trust that. And in that, know that nothing here compares to what we have going for us. That is to say, the love of God. And don't forget that word, eternal. I mean, we're talking eternal means forever. That you, in a wonderful world with all the heartache taken away, and the blessing and the love of God flowing freely from the very altar of God, as it is written in that the last chapters of the great book of Revelation, His love flowing forth. Just nothing here compares to the glory of the eternity. Verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're not going to last very long. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And there is no comparison. That's what he's saying. Okay. So it's just when you look, you can look at sight and you can see a troubled world. But when you look in that troubled world at what most people can't see because it's hidden from them, a lot of people, I should say, is the glory of God. Well, brother, you don't understand. There's a lot going on in this world. Well, that's right. He told us. It's in the Bible. He told us it was going to happen. If anything, you should rejoice. It means we're that much closer to the end. But even regardless of all that's happening in the world, exactly as he said it would, then you still have the glory and the light with you. And he protects you from it. So you got nothing to sweat. You got nothing to worry about. Don't let them see you sweat. You're not a wimp. You're a man, woman, or child of God, the living God. And eternal life belongs to you. So step into that light. Relish that light. Enjoy that light. And then let that light reflect off of you, whereby it touches others and brings them into that ministry, that, and you become a credential of that ministry simply by believing and letting the many-membered body of God grow in truth, not fearing, but knowing God is on the throne and we have eternal life made. How precious it is, the love of our Father, compared to the troubles of this world. Chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, if this flesh body of this tabernacle were dissolved, if it turns back to dirt, we have a building of God. We have a body that he made, and house not made with hands, not by human beings, eternal in the heavens. In other words, you have that spiritual body that he mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that you have both a celestial and a terrestrial body. That is to say, you have a spiritual and an earthly body. Your earthly body is very temporal. You're not going to have it very long. That is to say, a number of years. But you have that door open to the light, and you have a body, a spiritual body that dwells, quite frankly, within this one. And returns to the Father when this flesh body goes back to dirt. You don't need it anymore. It's not. It is perishable. It gets ill. It has things that go wrong with it. But your spiritual body, age, time means nothing to it. That's why every angel always looks like a young person. Why? Age means nothing to the eternal body. So don't ever forget that. You have a flesh body, but you've got one far better. It's heaven bound and heaven made when you believe. Verse 2. For in this we groan, or we sigh, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. In other words, you can't help. You've got work to do here, and you hang in there as long as it takes. But you cannot help but look forward to the day in the eternity when everything is perfect. That's just human nature, that we look forward to that. And your soul body is ready. And we know, what does it say in John chapter 3? It says you must be born again, is the way most people read it. That's not what the manuscripts say. You must be born from above. That's where you came from. You came from above, not below. Your heavenly body came down to join with this flesh body in your mother's womb. And so it is that you still, you nothing, no one has ascended that descended that doesn't ascend. Why? Because everybody goes back to God to be judged. Good, bad, the ugly. Verse 3, naturally, the mortal, which means the soul, you better put on immortality, which is to say deathlessness of the soul, meaning you have eternal life. You have the light. Verse 3, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. And naturally, we know from the great book of Revelation that our clothing is made by woven the fine linen you wear by your righteous acts, as it is written in Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 and 8. Verse 4, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan. We sigh in these flesh bodies, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life, that we could, the natural body, the mortal body, mortal means liable to die in the Greek tongue, okay? That, and being a soul as well, you must put on immortality, but that it's swallowed up by life, or what life? Eternal life, that you come into that eternal being, the eternal life. Verse 5, now, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God. It's our Father, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Do you know what this word earnest is? It's a guarantee. Do you ever put earnest money down on something? If you're going to buy a piece of property, you've got to put earnest money down. What he's saying, the price is already paid for you there. It's guaranteed. It's yours if you earn it, if you take it. If you go for it, the Spirit is guaranteed. I don't know. Do you call upon that? I really cannot understand why someone with sin wouldn't repent and have it erased and step into the eternity when such an awesome price was paid for it. And that price that was paid is your guarantee. It's the earnest money that was put forth, the earnest act, I should say, that guarantees that your spiritual body makes that trip back to the Father and eternal life right here on earth with the rejuvenated earth and everything in perfection. What a time that's going to be without all the hubbub and the trouble and the sorrow, to be with our loving Father and in a body that never grows old. A body that never is ill. And the blessings of God just simply flow from that throne to where all peoples everywhere that still remain have not attended the pit trip, as we know where Satan's going. They have that guarantee. That's the earnestness of the Spirit created by God because He loves His children. Verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, you could be sure, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, this flesh body, we are absent from the Lord. We know that as long as we're in this flesh body, you are absent from the body of the spiritual body of the Lord. Verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. You have faith and knowledge and knowing that God leads, that God protects, that God will always bless and keep you as He has earnestly said. He's guaranteed it. Verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And naturally, that is instant. When you are absent from this body, you are present with Him in the spiritual body, as 1 Corinthians 15 so declares. You got two. One goes to dust again as it came from, and the other to eternal life with the Heavenly Father when you walk in that light. So you don't really have anything to be afraid of. And don't ever follow a ministry that puts you in the ground out here and you're there until you raise again in a flesh body. Come on. God doesn't operate that way. And nowhere is it written. I know it is taught, but that's not what God has to say. If you've studied with a good ministry, you know that is true. Verse 9. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. That is so very important. In other words, there's no shortcuts. I mean, as long as God has a purpose for you on this earth, you hang tough. And so it is that Father blesses, that He loves, and to be absent from your flesh body, you're with Him. And so it is. Verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in His body according to that He hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, what would this be talking about, the judgment seat of Christ? It's the book of life. It's when you arrive in your spiritual body, what is written in that book of life determines whether you're going on one side of the gulf or the other to await the millennium and ultimately final judgment. That's what it amounts to. You know how precious it would be to arrive as old Lazarus did and to be welcomed by Abraham and the others who overcame, who took advantage of that earnest expectation, the guarantee that God would give you that freedom and that life, eternal life, if you would only believe. All right, don't miss the next lecture. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, and all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend or denomination. We're not going to judge people. We have one judge. It's our Father. And if you know what's good for you, you will always leave that in His hands. You do have the right to spiritually discern whether you're hearing truth, fiction, or nonsense. That's a gift from God. And you always, you know intuitively if you're a believer what you're hearing, if it is the Word of God or not. That you have the right to discern and absorb. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you, and your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Now, you got a prayer request, you don't need the number or an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. You don't even have to say it out loud. Okay? You can pray anywhere you want to. No one else will even know. But God hears even your very thoughts. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. We're going to go with Jerry from Oklahoma. I've never been fortunate enough to have my question answered on air, but I will try again. And bingo. God tells us to raise at His second coming, rise at His second coming. How do we rise if we've come of cremated burials and scattered and so forth? See, you're missing the whole point. You have two bodies. These flesh bodies going back to dirt or ashes, it doesn't matter if it's scattered, buried, or what. You're through with it, done with it. This is why in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 it says that a living dog is better than a dead lion. A lion's supposed to be king of the jungle. But if he's dead, he's dead meat. Okay, he's over. It's going into the ground and it will never be heard from again. Why? It's returning to dirt. It's just simply dirt, period. But you have this wonderful spiritual body. It doesn't matter what happens to the flesh. Okay, it's going back to dirt. That's all it is in the first place. Everything that your body consists of is organic matter that came from the soil and it's going back. In other words, even if you eat, let's say, a steak, where did it come from? Grass. Where did the grass come from? Dirt. A human body can only intake something that is organic, meaning soil. Into soil it'll go. All right? And so I hope that answers your question. Okay. And here we go with this would be Helen from Florida. What is God's opinion in the Bible for drinking an occasional wine at dinner or socializing? Thank you, Helen from Florida. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23. Rather than taking some drug, it says if you're a business person, example, and you have a stomach problem, take a little wine, a little, not a gallon, not a jug, a little wine for the good of the tummy, okay? So that should do it for you. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23. Janet from Washington, my question is, when you were in the Marines, did you pastor to the other soldiers? I was a combat Marine, not a pastor, okay? Now, naturally, anytime you're in rough combat, as it was up at the reservoir and on the way up and back, well, there was a lot of good tips and seeds planting. Also, I heard all of us in heaven will be 33. Is that true? That you're a young person, and certainly age has nothing to do on a spiritual body, as forestated today. And so it is. Kim from Oklahoma. I have a question. A preacher has sent me a letter saying the Lord is requesting an obedient gift of $200, and I only get SSI once a month. What should I do? Throw it in the trash. It's not from God. God does not send out beggars, period. Anytime somebody is begging you for money, God did not send them. So don't grease their palm or make their habit grow better, okay? Because they're fakes. God does not beg for anything, okay? And He does not send out beggars. That's what He said when He sent forth the disciples, 70 of them, twos. Don't take a begging bag. That's what a script is. And anytime somebody comes to you begging for money, they're not from God. Okay, they may claim to be, but they're not. This is what makes me so popular among certain religious television, and that's why usually we're on secular television. But it's true. I will never have a telethon. You will never have me beg for money. God makes real good, takes real good care of us. Why? Because we teach His Word, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. If any church gets in trouble, feed the flock, and they will come. Feed the flock, and they will support you. If you don't feed them, then you're going to end up being a beggar. Courtney from Oregon. I'm 11 years old, and my mom and I love to watch your program. I have a question to ask you. Why did God make Earth? Because out of all the universe, He wanted one place that is perfect. It's set just right. This is what He would say to Job in chapter 38. He says, where were you when I put this earth? Right where it's at. Put it in this orbit, this circle. Naturally, that's an awesome thought. Where were we? Well, we weren't yet. And He had power to do that. Put it where we have rain and so forth. And then yet, in the beginning, we didn't even have rain. Why? Because we had a canopy called the firmament. And it's going to come back to that. It's just perfect. And God will put it back that way after it was cast down. Katabo. Terry from Louisiana. When we die and go to heaven, will we see our parents and loved ones? Absolutely, it's guaranteed. Ezekiel 44, verses 20 through 25. Those that don't overcome, you can even go help them a little bit. You can't be saved for them, but you can tell them to get their act together and give a little discipline and a little family tough love. Robert from Illinois, can you please talk more about God pouring out His wrath when He returns? Well, there's seven vials. And those vials are not little bitty perfume bottles, okay? It's a short, fat, big mouth dish. And it's full of the wrath of God, and when He dumps it, it's flat. It goes all at one time. You can read more of them in Revelation chapter 16. And in this past Passover, I mentioned the thunders. And I think that we nailed the sixth thunder with the sixth trump, sixth seal, and sixth vial. Naturally, it would be the sixth thunder. And you can read of it in the 12th chapter of St. John. If you need help with it, you would need to order the Passover lectures. Ron from Georgia. When Jesus was led to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and Jesus was the only one there, how did Matthew know what Jesus said in Matthew 4, 1 through 11? Thank you. I study with you daily. Don't you believe that Christ worded, He's the author of all the Word, for He is the Father. So it doesn't matter whether Matthew was there through the Spirit, he knows what happened there. That's why it is the Word of God, not the Word of Matthew. It's not the Word of Luke. It's not the Word of John. It's the Word of God, directly from Him. And He has the ability to speak to whomever, whenever, and whatever He so chooses, even to this day. He doesn't speak all that much anymore, but I guarantee you He still speaks on occasion when it's very important. And He knows how to get your attention. But He is the author of all of God's Word. Whether not the man's name is on it. Joan from Ohio. Where in the Bible can I find the Song of Moses? The Song of Moses you will find in Deuteronomy chapter 32. You will find its value when you read Revelation chapter 15. For it is the song that those that overcome the mark of the beast, they overcome this earth age and are on their way to so-called heaven. Okay, it means they have eternal life. And they're singing this song. They're singing the Song of Moses and the Song of the Lamb. The Song of Moses, you will find in Deuteronomy 32, is God's children and how He loves them. And it gives you the whole story of the deception and so forth. Stephen from South Carolina, will the people that are following the Antichrist during this time have a chance again during the millennium? You know, we always want to leave judgment to God because man kind of gets in trouble. But why we do have knowledge from God's word, why would the millennium have God's elect as priests with Christ for 1,000 years? Well, they're teaching. Well, why is Christ there 1,000 years and our Father isn't? Well, because Christ is Savior. So that means salvation is still open. And it isn't for man to judge. It's for man to decide whether they're going to love God or Satan. Okay, but that office is still open all through the millennium. Because that's what Jesus is Yeshua. And Yeshua means Yahweh's Savior. That's what his business is. That's what his title is. That's what he does. So, therefore, naturally, if the Savior is there and God's elect are teaching, there are many people that haven't got a prayer of a chance because they're not being taught the truth. There are very few people that are even taught there are three earth ages. They look shocked when you say the first earth age. And even science, which is not even religion necessarily. Science knows that this earth is millions of years old. And yet you'll get some Bible thumper that'll say, well, this earth is only 6,000 years old. And he shows his ignorance because God created the first earth age, which was millions of years ago. And God's word is certainly true. So naturally, a lot of people, they've got blinders on because of lack of teaching, because of listening to people that do not teach the full word chapter by chapter, verse by verse, where all of God's word comes forth, including all three earth ages and God's plan of salvation. Kay from Tennessee. Question, I say, Lord, help me a lot when I'm tired and I'm hurting and I'm doing wrong and I don't mean to. Please answer because I've been told I should not do it. Kay from Tennessee. Kay, you talk to the Father anytime you want to, and if anybody tells you you shouldn't, they're in error. You tell them to mind their own business if you want to. You're his child. And when his children hurt, he hurts. When you're a believer, he wants to help you. That's why he gives you counsel in his word. That's why he gives you instruction for you to follow, whereby you're blessed and you have a better life. So don't ever, ever let somebody tell you that you shouldn't talk to him. That's what prayer is talking to him, letting him know your problems. And at the same time, always use that same line of communication to thank him and love him. That's the main thing God wants from you is your love. And when you're regarding him enough that you ask, you're showing that love, all right, in that sense. So let him know you love him and you keep communicating. Joe from Wisconsin. I love your teaching. Well, thank you. You've opened my eyes more than we'll ever know. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Please help me understand. If Satan is Cain's father, then why does Genesis 4:1 state that Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Thank you for your teaching. You are welcome. But you could never understand 4:1 if you didn't go on and read 4:2. Okay. Because what does it say? It says, and again. That word again is yathatha in the Hebrew tongue, and it means continued. What was she doing? She was giving birth, and she continued in labor and gave birth to Abel, meaning what? They were twins by separate fathers. Okay, and Torchy from Alabama. All our love to you and you're so welcome. Thank you very much. Can you please explain to me if Satan's spirit is walking this earth now, what is Michael holding in heaven? Well, Michael is holding him in heaven, but still in God's plan for every negative, there is a positive. The positive is that Christ is also on the throne, but his Holy Spirit walks this earth. It's everywhere, in us, around. But at the same time, the negative part of that is Satan's locked in heaven, all right, by Michael. But his evil spirit can also walk the earth, along even with the evil spirits of the 7,000 that are held in chains and bondage of the Nephilim, which is to say the fallen angels. Their evil spirits can come to the earth. Why? Well, why would God let a thing like that happen? Because God gave us power over all of our enemies, as I stated earlier in this broadcast today, in Luke chapter 10, verse 19 forward. I give you power over all your enemies in my name. So he lets them go because of the unbelievers. You know, a demon can make a believer out of a lot of people that maybe a believer couldn't reach. Satan can. This is why the old boy that was practicing incest, Paul said, hey, let him go to the devil. Satan will kind of straighten him out, and then maybe he'll listen. So some people have to go all the way to the bottom of the barrel before they're going to raise their heads and see a little light. Okay, we got Sandy from Indiana. My question is, I have no church other than my heart and my Bible. I'm not perfect still, and I'm 52, but how can I myself celebrate Passover? Also, if I needed blood and needed a transfusion, what would I do? Okay, let's take the transfusion first. God wants you to obey health laws. The transfusion is to do with health. But what Bible was talking about is don't eat something that was butchered improperly, that was not bled. Don't eat the blood. Okay. Why? Because it putrefies the meat. Even to this day, when you're killing livestock for the table, they are bled thoroughly before they are butchered. They have to bleed out. And many of us from farm days where we had our own poultry and chickens, you wring the neck of the chicken, it hops around and bleeds out. And then you eat the bird, but you don't eat the blood. In biblical days, they did not have refrigeration. And blood would putrefy the meat in a very short period of time. But bled out and cured properly, it would keep pretty good with salt. Okay, you can take Passover with us. We air it on television, but you're never alone. Even if you Passover now, Christ became our Passover. It's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Christ became our Passover. He is your Passover. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So you've always got him with you. You're not alone. So you can partake of it. And he is there with you, or you can partake of it on television with us. Mary from Nebraska, is it written what Jesus did during the 3 days after he was crucified? Yes, it is. It's written in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. He went to the prisoners all the way back to the time of Noah, meaning for the beginning. Why? Because he died on the cross for the sins of many. But those that died before that crucifixion, they didn't have that opportunity. They were by law. So he preached to them and offered them salvation. And according to 1 Peter chapter 4, many of them accepted. He freed the prisoners, in other words. Marilyn, from God is always fair. He doesn't treat any age people different than all his children. Marilyn from Minnesota. I know that a part of repenting is having a change of heart, mind and heart. I find this hard to do sometimes. Can you give me some verse to help me? Please explain Revelation 9:18 about the one-third of men being killed. Thanks. No, it says one-third of men will die the spiritual death is what it means. In other words, they're going to worship Satan. And that's dying spiritually. They're spiritually deader than a hammer. If they're worshiping Satan, they're sure not worshiping Christ, okay? But having a change of, you know, always think of 1 Corinthians 10:13. I'll say it again, 1 Corinthians 10:13. There's nothing going to happen to you, it doesn't happen to everybody, and you can cut it because you're a daughter of the living God. And he says, I'm never going to test you. He knows how much you can handle. Handle it. Okay. And he'll always show you a way out. Hi, my name is Jacob from Missouri. My grandma, thinks dragons are against God. But everyone is entitled to his own opinion. Well, you let grandma have her opinion now, okay, Jacob? Why? Because she's probably right. You know why? The dragon is one of Satan's names. That old dragon, which is the devil, which is Satan. You can read it for yourself in Revelation chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. So, you know, you want to listen to Granny. She's probably got quite a few years in that old Word of God. And she kind of knows what she's talking about. And the dragon is one of Satan's names. And that's the dragon she's referring to, not some fire-breathing monster. And I am out of time. I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word. But most of all, you know what? God loves you for it. It's His letter that He sent to you to give you eternal life and understanding and knowledge to improve your life and to share His love with you. It makes His day. When you make His, boy, is He going to make yours. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, and only if we've helped you, help us keep coming to you. But always bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, though, listen to me, and you listen good. You stay in His Word. Every day in His Word is a good day, even with trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on